Hello and welcome to the Mountain Brook Baptist Project 119 Bible Reading Plan Podcast. I'm Mary, and it's my pleasure to join you in reading God's Word. Today is Monday, April 13th. Happy Missions Monday. Today we pray alongside the Well House, which is a ministry of restoration to female victims of human trafficking. They say regardless of race, color, creed, or religion, women in pain can be assured they will find love and acceptance at the Well House. The Well House provides a safe residential environment to women, offering spiritual, mental, emotional, and physical support services. One of their ministries is a social enterprise where the women make things like candles and crosses and bracelets, and they sell them. You can find them by putting in your search engine, Well House, and shop well. As we pray today, let us pray for the women who are finding respite at the Well House and all those who work with the Well House. Today we start a new reading plan. I am super excited about this. We're going to go through selections of Genesis from almost every chapter. Then we'll go into the book of Exodus and learn more about the people of Israel there. Today we're starting at the beginning, Genesis chapter 1. I'll be reading verses 1 through 19, which means we will make it through the fourth day of creation. Hear with me these words from Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 through 19. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. God saw that the light was good, and he separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. And God said, "Let there be a vault between the waters to separate water from water." So God made the vault and separated the water under the vault from the water above it. And it was so. God called the vault sky, and there was evening and there was morning, the second day. And God said, "Let the water under the sky be gathered to one place, and let dry ground appear." And it was so. God called the dry ground land, and the gathered waters he called seas. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let the land produce vegetation, seed-bearing plants and trees in the land that bear fruit with seed in it, according to their various kinds." And it was so. The land produced vegetation, plants bearing seeds according to their kinds, and trees bearing fruit with seeds in it according to their kinds. And God saw that it was good. There was evening and there was morning, the third day. And God said, "Let there be lights in the vault of the sky to separate the day from the night, and let them serve as signs to mark sacred times and days and years. And let them be lights in the vault of the sky to give light on the earth." And it was so. God made two great lights, the greater light to govern the day and the lesser light to govern the night. He also made the stars. God set them in the vault of the sky to give light on the earth, to govern the day and the night, and to separate light from darkness. And God saw that it was good, and there was evening, and there was morning, the fourth day. Before we move on, I just want to talk through a couple of things. Much of what I am sharing with you, I learned in a Bible study by Jen Wilkin called God of Creation. She has really good application questions in this Bible study, and one of them is in relationship to the fact that God is creator. Why do you think failure to acknowledge and worship God as creator is a sin? What sinful behaviors might result from this sin? I want you to be able to think about it for a moment. Why is it important that we acknowledge and worship God as creator? And then think about it on the flip side. When we acknowledge and worship God as creator, how might this cause us to live righteous lives? Just recognizing who made all things. As we move into Psalm 92, I want to give you one more thought about Genesis 1, especially verse 16, which then lends itself to this psalm. In verse 16 of Genesis 1, it says, God made two great lights, the greater light to govern day and the lesser light to govern the night. Have you ever thought about the fact that God didn't say, God made the sun and the moon? Well, Jen Wilkin brings out the fact that perhaps they weren't mentioned as sun and moon because the original audience may have connected the sun to the sun god and the moon goddess. And some of the pagan peoples believed in that time that these lights in the expanse brought fertility in the harvest cycle. And so Moses isn't even giving them or dignifying the deities by mentioning them. Rather, he says, lights in the expanse of the heavens. Now, how does that connect to Psalm 92? Well, this psalm begins by telling us to proclaim the love of God in the morning. And we, in the morning, see the light of that greater light, the sun. And then it reminds us in the evening to tell of God's faithfulness. I'm going to read Psalm 92, verses 1 through 8. It is good to praise the Lord and make music to your name, O Most High, proclaiming your love in the morning and your faithfulness at night. To the music of the 10-stringed lyre and the melody of a harp. For you make me glad by your deeds, Lord. I sing for joy at what your hands have done. How great are your works, Lord. How profound your thoughts. Senseless people do not know. Fools do not understand. That though the wicked spring up like grass and all evildoers flourish, they will be destroyed forever. But you, Lord, are forever exalted. Thank you for listening along as we read God's Word together. This week in the Alabama Baptist, there was a short article about faith in space. I don't know about you guys, but I have been very interested in Artemis 2. And I just want to read it to you. I thought it was powerful about how the moment before the crew on Artemis 2 would enter into roughly 40 minutes of radio silence as they passed behind the moon, Victor Glover, who is one of the astronauts, said this. As we continue to unlock the mysteries of the cosmos, I would like to remind you of one of the most important mysteries there on Earth, and that is love. Christ said in response to what was the greatest command, that it was to love God with all that you are. And he also, being a great teacher, said this, I give you equal to it, and that is to love your neighbor as yourself. Glover added, and so as we prepare to go out of radio communications, we're still able to feel your love from Earth, and to all of you down there on Earth and around the Earth, we love you from the moon. The spiritual appeal recalled perhaps one of the most widely broadcast moments of religious expression, the 1968 Apollo 8 mission, when three astronauts read from Genesis on the television as they, too, orbited the moon. Both missions also happened to coincide with religious holidays. Apollo 8 circled the moon on Christmas Eve, and the 10-day Artemis II mission overlapped with the Christian celebration of Easter and the Jewish holiday of Passover. Will you pray with me? God of creation, God of the wondrous mysteries of the moon, the sun, and beyond, you are creator of all things, and we want to recognize you as creator today. Lord, we thank you that you didn't put earth out there and let it spin and leave it be, but you have sustained the earth and you have redeemed the earth. And now we await the day of final recreation when Jesus returns and makes all things new. We pray for our ministry partner, Well House, today. Ask your help and your watch care for the women who find respite there and for those who find it their ministry calling to restore women physically, mentally, emotionally, and socially. Be with us all today, Lord, as we recognize you as creator and we give you praise. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.